violation with the provisions that are in the law right now. But if they are, I don't think that adopting an amendment that says that they have to meet standards equal to or greater than will do them any good anyway, because, in fact, they would have to be meeting all of those things to be equal to or greater than, and that if they are to be exempt, what they probably need is something along the lines of the innovative exemption that exists already in the administrative rules, though it may be being misused in some cases, and I hadn't frankly heard of it until this discussion came up. It does seem to provide for situations where the rules don't quite fit because of the geographic distribution of an employer or whatever, that appropriately is the place to go if an employer has a better way of doing it and really wants out from under these guidelines. So in conclusion, I think repealing it is the simplest, cleanest way to deal with it and really is what ought to be done. Thank you.
Any questions?
I have a question about sort of the tag-along provision here. We repeal 654187. We're not just dealing with safety committees. There's a provision in 654187 that says that 654192 will not apply to an employer operating under a collective bargaining agreement that contains provisions regulating the formation and operation of a safety committee. Then when I read 654192, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but that says when someone gets an injury covered under workers' comp, the discussion or furnishing or failure to discuss or furnish or failure to enforce any safety or health provision to protect employees, shall not subject the labor organization representing the injured employee to any civil liability for the injury. Have you had any problems with lawsuits or threatened lawsuits regarding labor organizations being involved in safety committees and then collective bargaining? I just raise that question because that's sort of a background factor here.
Representative Mannix, I've never heard of a union being sued civilly in a situation like that, and actually when you drew it to my attention I had read it before, but I hadn't paid much attention
to it. It's sort of a far-fetched notion, but I can see it someday. And I can see why we have the law, by the way, because I can imagine someone someday suing his union, saying, you guys were on the safety committee, and you are not the employer, and you should have done something about this unsafe working condition. This is a third-party lawsuit. We've talked about those. You can't sue your employer if you get workers' comp, but you can sue a third party.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what it is. But what I'm getting at is, I don't want to drag you off through that and take a lot of time, but there haven't been any problems with that happening, have there?
There have not. This is Frank Beal with the NWPPW again. There have not been in this state. I believe this language was added to the law at the request of my union in the 1981 legislative session. I believe we had a problem in California along these lines. And
well, this basically
was put in.
192 puts you on an equal footing with the employer when you participate in a safety committee, which is supposed to be looking at safety. So I don't have any problem with the statute. I was just wondering if there had been something that happened out there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Jack?
No.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Jack Pompey, Administrator of Oregon OSHA, Department of Insurance and Finance. I will be brief. You heard both sides of this issue. As the OSHA Administrator and the individual who enforces the federal OSHA law in the state plan scenario to exempt a collective bargaining agreement for health and safety committees is a discriminatory law. I can't enforce that law. Reason being that what you're doing is discriminating against all non-union employers, which we have many more in this state, both fixed and mobile industry, that have to abide by the law. And also, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but I have to say it, if there's collusion in the collective bargaining agreement between the union and the company, they could tell me where to go regarding a collective bargaining agreement. It was nice to see Nika's package. It was nice to hear the union talk. But if you don't have enforcement of those rules because they're exempt, it does the state of Oregon no good.
Can I ask a question, Jack?
Mr. Chairman.
I hate like the devil to interrupt you, but do you support 829?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. I think that's all we needed.
However, Mr. Chairman, Representative Edmondson, I would work with both groups for an amendment.
Okay. Way to go, Jack.
Must be time.
Mr. Chair, could I, before he leaves, just hearing the testimony from IBEW, would you say that they have equal to or better than?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dahmey, I would say they're equal to or better, much better than.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you very much.
Jack, have a nice day, Jack.
Thanks a lot, Jack.
Thanks for stopping by.
Did he? You had to come all the way just to get insulted, didn't you?
On a holiday,
too. Okay, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 829, Senate Bill 829. And we're going to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 962. And we only have one person that wants to testify.
Where?
No, we're okay. We had a late breakfast.
No, we're not.
Speak yourself.
Recess at 12:30.
Gentlemen, Senate Bill 962 would memorialize or commemorate injured or killed workers on the job. It would dedicate $25,000 from penalty and interest money under the Oregon Safety Act to fund this over the next biennium.
Go ahead.
Irv Fletcher, Oregon AFL-CIO, one of the two bills that our name is on this session. The discussion in the Senate was who would determine what the money was used for. That would be the director of DIF, I suppose, in consultation with the head of OROSHA, the Safe Employment Education and Training Advisory Committee, a joint labor management committee. They would advise. The early discussions informally have been a type of scholarship, something such as that. I rejected the fact that they wanted to do a bronze memorial of me, a 12-foot figure. I said, no, I didn't want that. Scholarship sounds more appropriate, modest though I am. And the figure, I think, was recommended by a business person, the $25,000. I think it's appropriate it come out of the penalty money, of course. But that's about it.
Questions?
Is that where we have a public hearing?
Oh.
Never mind. Any questions for Irv? I thought we had a lot of time, but you covered it very quickly. Irv, tell me again, just a little bit of background. What would be the purpose of it? What would be trying to accomplish with that bill?
Well, I think it says it's a commemoration and a memorial, and I think it's entirely appropriate that we emphasize in this state, we have in the past, I think we ought to continue to, how important safety is.
Could you give me some idea of what we would do with the money?
That's subject to the other committee members and recommendations. A management person on the committee, who I highly respect, has the same problem as I do, alopecia. Indicated that he thought a scholarship would be something appropriate. Son, a daughter, or a spouse of an injured or a worker deceased on the job.
Okay. So you use it as a scholarship?
That's one idea. What his thing is. I say I rejected the first recommendation that it be a 12-foot memorial bronze of me out in front of the Capitol.
You didn't like that.
No, I'm not.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, on the serious side,
yes.
If we're going to talk about $25,000. Would we want to put this into some sort of a fund where we'd use the
trust.
Interest
yes.
To generate an annual scholarship?
I would assume this is a one-time only request, yes.
Because I like the notion of dedicating it to some sort of continuing living activity as opposed to, if you ever find those plaques we got in the basement of the Capitol, you know, you walk around with a flashlight, you might be able to read them. I don't want to denigrate. I mean, there's a plaque to the Spanish-American War. I may be the only person in this room who's ever read it, but living memorials seem to be real effective ways of. Anyway, if you had some thoughts, I'd welcome them. I don't mind the input.
Well, were you thinking just of a one-time deal, or just?
Well, a $25,000 trust would generate at 8%. If you're fortunate, about $2,000 a year is a scholarship.
If you had an ongoing $25,000 for biennium.
That's
trust fund.
Do you, may I?
Yes.
Do you have any problem with an amendment which would say that this would set up a scholarship trust fund to fund annual?
I don't. I'd want to consult with the brother Frederick. He's also on the committee.
Mr. Chair?
Prominent advisory
member. I'd just like to hear some specific idea that I'd like to put in here.
I wouldn't want to proceed without his benediction on this.
Mr. Chair,
go ahead.
Irv, you wouldn't have a problem if it was a $25,000 every year set aside, would you?
No.
Okay.
As I say, in order for this to be bipartisan, I think I need to consult.
$25,000 biennium.
Biennium. $25,000 for biennium.
Okay, any other questions?
I would consider that a friendly amendment.
Thank you for your help. We're going to close the public hearing on 962, and we're going to adjourn the committee.